Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Dr. Alon Ben-Meir is a professor at New York University Center for Global Affairs and a senior fellow at the World Policy Institute. Interesting man, written quite extensively about Afghanistan, and it is on that issue that I'd like to discuss with him this afternoon. Dr. Ben-Meir, how are you this afternoon?
Good, thank you so much. I'm fine. Well,
Dr. Ben-Meir, you wrote an article about the Taliban and the U.S. accepting the inevitable. I presume that was a little while ago. You wrote about a staged and an orderly withdrawal. Clearly, that didn't happen. I want to have your personal take on the American administration's withdrawal from Afghanistan. And what grade would you give them if you had to grade them?
You know, the decision of President Biden to withdraw from Afghanistan is definitely the right decision. It is, in fact, overdue. I always maintain we should have withdrawn from Afghanistan 19 years ago. But obviously, that did not happen. The problem is that to what extent we, the United States, being prepared to conduct the withdrawal, you know, orderly and safely so that all the personnel, be that American, foreign diplomats, Afghanis who helped the United States over these years to be able to depart the country safely. That, unfortunately, did not happen. The Biden suggested that the Afghan army, 300,000 strong men, will be able to withstand any kind of onslaught by the Taliban. Obviously, that did not happen. The Afghani military is corrupt to the bone. Many thousands defected. Many more thousands sold their weapons to the Taliban. So they obviously, the president did not have or did not want to reveal the kind of intelligence that he was provided, that the withdrawal will precipitate rapid onslaught by the Taliban, and we will certainly will be able to take over Kabul, the capital Kabul in no time.
What concerns me with this inglorious departure by the USA is what it's going to mean for American allies, what it's going to mean for the next person in some country who feels they want to be a translator for the American army. Did America not let down its allies on the ground in the most disgraceful way possible?
Well, you know, to some extent you might say that the United States let down some of our allies. On the other hand, I think the original mistake, the bad mistake, the tragic mistake is that we have conducted a war for 20 years knowing full well that this war is unwinnable. And we should have concluded that many, many years ago. So the concern I have is not as much letting our allies down. It is to what extent we have prepared them and told them time and again that this war is unwinnable. And the sooner or later we're going to have to withdraw. In that sense, I think that is where the main mistakes have taken place. It is the precipitous withdrawal that makes our allies suspect, can we in fact rely on the United States in the future? And if I make, I want to make another point, and that is, the United States have been and continue to support many of our allies. The question is that support should be open-ended? Or should be conditioned upon some improvement on the ground by those allies that we are supporting. I can give you many examples, be that the Saudis, be that Israeli Palestinian, be that others. We continue to support these countries without asking, without demanding that we be changing policy, knowing full well that certain outcomes are inevitable. Israeli-Palestinian conflict, for example, a Palestinian state is inevitable. To what extent are we, in fact, telling the Israelis, our allies, that the time has come for you to sit down and negotiate. So you can look at it from two perspectives. There are two mistakes. A, we're committing ourselves almost indefinitely. And on the other hand, we are actually not putting any kind of pressure on these allies to change their ways in order to bring some kind of conclusion to the various conflicts that have taken place.
I accept everything you say. I understand it. I accept it. I'm just wondering if there wasn't a better way of withdrawing. That's my only issue here. You know, you can argue the wisdom of having gone in the first place and the fact that there weren't clear stated objectives when leaving. But to watch those scenes that we witnessed of people hanging onto planes and falling out of planes and packing planes to the extent that there was no room for anything. Surely there was another way, Prof, of accomplishing this withdrawal.
There's no question about it. I mean, this was my main criticism. In fact, in my today's article, I make an exactly this point. The withdrawal, eventual withdrawal is inevitable, was inevitable. The question is what sort of preparation we have made. Specifically, the decision was taking place to withdraw three months or so ago. The Taliban were prepared. They knew exactly what to expect to happen. America is going to leave and we are going to take over. What, in fact, happened during the last 3 months? What sort of preparation? Why is it that we began the withdrawal without actually sending the extra troops, now 6,000, to prepare properly how to conduct the withdrawal and then take it from there? But that did not happen, and I think that was a horrifying mistake that the Biden administrations have made.
No, then you and I are definitely aligned. One more question for you, and this goes to the issue of emboldening other Islamists. I mean, here in South Africa, our neighbor in Mozambique is facing a very significant insurgency right now by Islamists. To what extent do you think the example of what's happened in Afghanistan will embolden others?
Well, you know, many Islamic groups, extremists, write articles, are going to draw definitely this kind of conclusion. On the other hand, if the Taliban, well, they made several statements today, that they are going to adhere to a human rights issue, that they are not going to take revenge and retribution from those who supported the Americans, and they are going to, in fact, maintain semblance of social and economic order, orderly order, then I think that might impact also these Islamic groups. That is, the extent to which what is going to be the end result, and that is something we're going to see in the next a year or two, and that is very important. But like you said, will that have direct impact the Islamic groups and be encouraged, more emboldened, to in fact continue with their approach, with their resistance and committing their terrorist activities and crimes? That may very well be take a place. But the United States ought to be extremely now careful in terms of how to deal with these groups, and our so-called war on terrorism ought to be really redefined in order to establish specific, more targeted policy in order to deal with these groups in the future.
Yeah. Final question for you, Prof. I know the Taliban has gone on quite a PR initiative over the last 24, 48 hours, talking about respect for women's rights, no terrorism to be launched from Afghani territory. Do you believe them?
Well, I think it's not a question of belief. I ask myself the question, what the Taliban feel is their best interest? They are in desperate situation today, economically and otherwise. They are going to need help. And certainly they are going to try to demonstrate that they are worthy of trust and worthy of being supported. That is how I read it. Now, my feeling is that the United States extend this kind of help rather than seek any kind of sanction against the Taliban. That will be a terrible mistake. They are currently the reigning power in Afghanistan, and we ought to find a ways to, if we want to stabilize the country, if we want to make sure that our 20 years of sacrifices are not all in vain, I think we should open channels to the Taliban and work with them. And this may very well affect their treatment of their own population.
Thank you so much for your time this afternoon and for your really interesting perspective on what is going to be an issue for quite some time. Thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.